Welcome to all our friends who are here for the first time, and those of you who are visiting, thank you very much for coming. We pray that this evening will be a blessed evening for you. As an honor of your coming and also God's faithfulness, we have also prepared the dinner at the end. As always, please stay on, share your lives, affect someone else's life, and get to know one another, and we will spend a good amount of fellowship time before we go from here. And, you know, as Mark mentioned, on October 18, 2008, we celebrated our first preview service. On that day, the passage that we selected was Acts 11, 19-26. It's about church at Antioch. You know, we put a rough sketch, and when we look back, whatever we desired on that day, a lot of them have fulfilled or in the process of being fulfilled. You know, I believe God, who creates things out of nothing, He alone is able to create things out of nothing, none other. And all that we see, and all that we see by faith is, ahead of us, they're all by God, who is able to create things out of nothing. And He will give us the treasures of darkness. And He will give us people. He will help us to go to places where we have not gone. And this is evidence of God's faithfulness. It is an evidence. I'm sitting here and worshiping with beautiful songs. You know, I was just moved when we were singing that last song, "This Is My Story." You know, there are a lot of people in this city who still need to sing that story. "This is my story. This is my song. Jesus is my Savior." And you and me are instrumental in bringing those people. Get excited this evening. You know, when on October 18th, when we did our preview service, but January 17th was the day we launched Crossroad officially, but when we did the preview service, we just highlighted some of the things of church at Antioch that we see in Acts 11. That was the second church that we read about in Acts of the Apostles. First one was established in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost, and we see the second church started in Acts 11 in Antioch. Antioch in those days was in the country of Syria. Some of the highlights I would like to take you through. It was a compassionate church. Acts 11:27, we read that there was a famine in Jerusalem. At that time, a small group of people, probably, you know, maybe 5% of what we are, they were moved by the compassion, and they called Barnabas and Saul, who became Paul. They said, "You go to Jerusalem and take a gift and give to them, because those people are affected by famine. As a church body of Christ, you take this gift to Jerusalem." So, church at Antioch, in its inception, it was characterized by its compassion. And we read from Acts 13, 1-3, it was a missionary sending church. Just a few days after Barnabas and Paul came back from Jerusalem, they were fasting and praying and worshiping the Lord, and the Spirit of God told them, "Set apart Paul and Barnabas and send them for missionary work." When God moved the hearts of the elders, they called John Mark and said, "Go with Paul and Barnabas for missionary work." So church at Antioch was characterized by sending missionaries. And we read in Acts 14:27 and Acts 18:23, it was a home for missionaries. When Barnabas and Paul came back after the first missionary journey, they did not go to their home. Instead, they came to church at Antioch, where they reported what God had done through their witness in all the places wherever they went. And when Paul returned after the second missionary journey and third missionary journey, it was church at Antioch that became home for Paul. We read in Acts 15:30, church at Antioch acted as a protector and promoter of Christian faith. After Jerusalem Council, Paul and Barnabas came to Antioch with a letter, and they were so much encouraged and they sent out Paul with a letter to other places. In other words, church at Antioch was a protector and promoter of Christian faith. Afterwards, in a period called the post-apostolic period, after the death of the apostles, church at Antioch, one of the four centers of Christianity, Rome, Constantinople, Alexandria, and Antioch. Antioch was a very powerful seat to promote Christianity and protect the doctrines of Christianity. I'm so amazed to look at this church. It was not started by one individual. A group of people came together and they started worshiping, and slowly a church formed, and they formed with right DNA. You know, they formed with right characteristics that helped them to have all these characters. A lot of Western Christianity draws their origin, or it originated from church at Antioch. And we will look at the passage here, to Acts chapter 11, verse 19 onwards. We will see, how did this church become so effective? You know, what made this church to send out missionaries, to become a home for missionaries, and how did it become promoter of Christianity and protector of Christianity, and how did it become such a powerful seat in Western world? We will see what are some of the strengths they had. Acts chapter 11 verse 19. Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message of the Lord Jesus Christ only to the Jews. That is verse 19. In a group of people, they moved from Jerusalem, who were believers, who knew who Jesus was, who understood the importance of Jesus' death, resurrection, but they wanted only to tell their own group of people. And we hear about them only in this place. After that, they disappeared. But the next verse, verse 20, it says, some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing. A group of people who wanted to be different. One group of people, they said, Christianity is only for Jews, only a particular group of people. And we don't hear about them now. After verse 19, we don't hear about them. Whereas a group of people who went around, particularly to the city of Antioch, and they started preaching about Jesus Christ, or sharing about Jesus Christ, to the people who are not like them, who did not speak their language, who did not belong to their caste, who did not look like them, still they went out and preached about Jesus Christ. And the next verse says, the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ was upon them. God brought so many people to become followers of Jesus Christ. What they did was, they acted as barrier breakers. I think that is one of the strengths we read about church at Antioch. They were willing to go outside of their comfort zone, and they shared their faith with others. We call this barrier breakers. One of the values of Crossroad Church is to be barrier breakers. You know, if we wanted to just enjoy only our culture, only our language, only our region, probably we would not have been here. If God has brought us to a city like this, a cosmopolitan city like this, people from east, west, north, and south, people who are red, black, yellow, white, and people who speak several different languages, He has brought us here, probably, telling us that you become barrier breakers. The existence of Crossroad Church is there is a willingness to be a barrier breaker. I know a story. A friend of mine who studied with me, then later on, he became very close friends of us, and I had a co-worker. He was a good Christian. He ministered, he led several people to Christ, and his daughter got married. and I went to I went for the marriage, and a friend who studied with me in the seminary, his house is in the same village. My colleague and my friend are good friends. I asked, "Uncle, where is a friend, you know, so and so?" He said, "We will not invite that person for weddings, and they are not allowed to come to our church." They created a wall. When they went out, they were hanging out together. They were eating. They were, you know, they were having fellowship. But when the time comes, when they have to act out, they create a wall. They create a wall, and they say they are different. We are different. They are. They have a different color, and we have a different color. We have a different tradition. They have a different tradition. They cannot come and participate in our wedding program. There was a person by name Ambedkar, who was a very popular man from a lowest of lowest caste, went to England, studied in two important universities, Oxford and Cambridge, and he is called the father of Indian Constitution. And he was so much convinced that Christianity is the way, Jesus Christ is the way by which continent of India or subcontinent of India has salvation. He came back to India and he was traveling, and he went to a place where he saw two church buildings. He asked, "What is that church?" He said, "That belonged to one group of people." And he asked, "What is that other church?" "That belonged to another group of people." "Do you mean Christians practice caste? Do you mean Christians practice race?" They said, "Yes, it is a reality." And he went still down, and he saw this phenomenon everywhere. And he said, "I don't want Christianity." He went back and started something called Neo-Buddhism. 40% of the population of India follow Neo-Buddhism as a result of people not breaking barriers. We read about this church, a group of people who were willing to go out of their comfort zone and went to people who did not speak their language, and they dared to share about our Lord Jesus Christ. The same grace they experienced, they saw other people they thought would not experience, they saw that. We will read a little bit further down here. What is the next quality that you know, made them so strong, and you know, that you know, why church at Antioch had such a missionary fervor? Verse 22. News of this reached the ears of church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of Holy Spirit, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. I believe Barnabas and the people who came with them did not claim a monopoly over Christianity. In other words, right from the beginning, church at Antioch had leaders who served the Lord, did not serve their interest. When they were sent out from Jerusalem, they thought, "What is this? People outside of Judaism are coming to know the Lord? It cannot be." When he came and saw the work of God, he joined with God. Someone said, "I like to be in the place where God is working." It's Henry Blackaby. So go and join with God. And I think this is exactly what we all need to be doing, is just find out where God is working, just go and join them. I think that was the quality of Barnabas here. He came and saw the grace of God distributed to people who spoke Greek and other languages, people from other cultures, and instead of blocking them, instead of claiming monopoly over Christianity, Barnabas encouraged them. The word is parakaleo. That is exactly the word that is used for Holy Spirit in John 14, 15, and 16. Barnabas played a role to just walk alongside of people, to mature in their faith, to bring out the best in them. I think that was one of the characteristics that made Church at Antioch so special. We will read a little bit down here in verse 23. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and then he found him. He brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great number of people. The disciples were called Christians. That is the first time we hear about the name Christians. Until then, they were called followers, disciples, brothers. But this is the first place we see the word Christians. That too, it was not self-claimed name. It was attributed to a group of people who had a distinct lifestyle, who had distinct values, who had a distinct desire. They said they are Christians. They are followers of Christians. This is what I believe. You know, you don't need to go around and say, I'm Christian, my name is so-and-so. Or you don't need to say, I'm William, I'm born in a Christian family. We don't need to tell. If you are a follower of Christ, others will see you. And they will say, this person is different. And they will say, are you a follower of Christ? Are you a Christian? Because, you know, the world looks at Christians differently. Here, we see, as Christians were growing in number, as followers of Christ were growing in number, Barnabas understood there was a person by name Paul. He searched for him. He went to a place called Tarsus, brought him, and he started working with him. This is what I believe Barnabas developed synergy with gifted people. If church has to grow, if gospel has to move out to all corners of this world, we have to galvanize the gifts God has placed in us. One of the things I'm so excited about Crossroads Church is God has blessed us with gifted people, gifted leaders. You know, what we have to do as leaders is to just locate, identify the gifts and give them freedom, encouragement, and come along with them and help them just develop. As we do that, church automatically grows. You know, some have the gift of preaching, some have the gift of singing, some have the gift of hospitality. When all of them come together, body grows. As body grows, it multiplies. You know, someone said, what is the secret of a church? People took opinion. They said, those people are doing a lot of things. And that church has a good pastor who preaches so well. Others said, that church has a lot of programs. They do evangelism, they do social work, they do literacy, and they have so many activities. But few people said that church has good people. The measure of a good church is not in how many things they do, but how many people with right values the church has. I think church at Antioch had very few people. You know, we don't see church at Antioch as a mega church. It was a small church, but it had people with right values. What are the values? They broke barriers, and they had leaders serve the Lord. And leaders identified the gifts in others, and they just brought it out. That is why the church grew, and they were able to send out missionaries, and they became home of missionaries, and that became one of the powerful seats or powerful centers of Christianity in those days. And we will just come to our context. We are in Dallas-Fort Worth. We are surrounded by a group of people who have never heard the name of Jesus. And what one thing we will learn from this passage that will become one of the important characteristic traits of Crossroad. That is what my message today is. We must become barrier breakers. We must become barrier breakers. We have created a lot of walls. We say we are first generation. These are some of the realities. We say we are second generation. We are 1.5 generation. I speak English. I speak Tamil. I speak Spanish. When we actually look at these are something to be celebrated, and these should not segregate us. They should not divide us. So long as we divide, we will remain ineffective. we will remain small. We will be unproductive. But if we can just galvanize, we can just come together, we will become powerful, powerful souls. Powerful souls for God to use us. You know, when we say we must become barrier breakers, we mean we need to look for the interest of the other person. You look at people, they go to, they prefer, oh, I'm going there because, you know, my needs are met there. It is fine. But the DNA of Crossroad, as we are in the threshold of attempting something for the Lord in Dallas-Fort Worth, that is not our value. Everyone who becomes part of this family, we will search for the interest of the other person. Am I helping the other person? Am I serving the need of the other person? Instead of thinking about, are my needs met? Am I being ministered? This all will take place. But, you know, as we, you know, move forward, as we look forward for a great future, we should become barrier breakers. And one of the qualities is look for the interest of the other person. We must look for what is important to the other person instead of looking for what is important for me. You know, there are a lot of things I need. There are several things that I consider as important. But when we come together, a group like this, you know, instead of looking for what is my interest and what are things that are important for me, if I tend to look for some of the important things in others, I think, you know, we will make a difference in someone else's life. I must not think that, I'm superior. A lot of time, that can happen. You know, I'm superior. The minute I think that I'm superior, then I create a wall. If I expect others to act like me, think like me, and, somehow change their life so that I can have fellowship with them, then we are acting as colonizers, not as brothers in Christ. Instead, I should say, that person has something important that I can learn from. Probably that person is coming from maybe one of the Central American countries. I have never even seen that person. And his accent is not correct. You know, in the sense, I am not able to understand this person's accent. That is all right. I can celebrate. That is something that should, you know, give me an opportunity to go and learn about the person instead of creating the wall and, you know, strengthening the wall and say, hey, I don't understand this accent. When I came to Dallas first time, I had a difficult time pronouncing V and W. I still have a problem. And I think a lot of people from the East, they have the same problem. Whenever they say victory, I change. Other people don't get it. It's all right. That is how we learn. Instead of creating a wall and having a superior attitude, we at Crossroad, we want to break wall. Sometimes we may not speak English so fluently. It's all right. That is not, we are not going to just create a wall. Instead, we will just go and find out, as long as we understand it is enough. You know, I don't need to have a superior spirit. Instead, I should go down and find out what his needs are, what his interests are. You know, the world is divided into several walls. And sometimes, as we grow in number, as we reach out to people, we can have the same problem. We can have small groups here and there. Okay, this is a Tamil group. This is a Kannada group. This is a Spanish group. This is a French group. This is an American group. This is a second generation group. This is a first generation group. This is a sari wearing group. You know, churidar group. We can have so many groups. And what is the difference? Whereas we see in Acts chapter 11, some people, however, went outside and spoke about Jesus to those who spoke Greek. A and God's hand was upon them, and you know, their life was completely changed. A lot of people became followers of Christ. Our ultimate interest is not how I am taken care or how I am ministered, although they are important. Ultimately, what we are looking for is God's glory. That should result in people coming to know the Lord. There is an amazing passage we have in Philippians chapter 2. I'll read it from verse 3. And I think Jesus is the ultimate barrier breaker. And we read it here in verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as the attitude of Christ, who, being in very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. What an amazing barrier breaker, the model we have in Jesus. He came down and he identified with us. In 1983, I was in a small church. I was sitting at the back of the church. Everyone was singing, clapping their hands, and singing loud. I could not sing, I could not clap, and I could not pray with them, and I was kind of fish out of water. At the end of the service, everyone came and talked to me, shook my hand, and they showed a lot of genuine interest in me. That became the first step for me to move towards God, Jesus Christ. And you know, I believe as Christians, followers of Christ, we have to have Jesus' model. Instead of waiting for other persons to come and talk to us, we need to go and talk to that person. You know, barrier breaking has different levels. It's not enough to just say, hello brother, how are you doing? Hello sister, how are you doing? Instead, try to develop a genuine relationship with our friends and families. You know, as an application, when we finish our church today, if you feel that there is a person who you have not met before, probably he doesn't come from the same region you come from, take an effort. You know, you go and talk to that person. Find out where that person is from. And try to exchange some information. And go from superficial level to a little more depth. You will see a difference. As we, as church, move in this direction, we will be able to make a big difference for our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us just remember, God has called us to be barrier breakers. And, you know, our language, our culture, our region, our generation should not divide us, but they should unite us. And we should celebrate instead of dividing and segregating. With that, we will just have a word of prayer.